locations.
Committee work, budget workshop, order.
Finance budget workshop to in order. Okay. We've got a stack of papers, and Jack wants to review the one with the blue. No problem.
So if you folks are okay, we'll talk about the 2021 budget change first. It has kind of a salmon and a green color on it. So this captures all of the items that you folks discussed and made motions on, or that we noted and you didn't make motions on, but essentially all the things that we discussed, you folks discussed at your last meetings. Any questions on this piece? Essentially, as the minutes reflect, this is basically the changes that you folks made at your last meeting. Okay.
So, Mr. Malter, your suggestion of allocating part of Public Works to landfills looks like it's about $140,000.
Yeah. That was great.
Yeah. Right.
That's a big help. Okay. So, we made all those changes. Obviously, any questions, concerns? One area that I neglected to bring up last time under tourism and publicity, you folks also historically allocate $45,000 to the chambers of commerce. And that was one area that we talked about, reductions in the other areas, the other funding streams in the tourism and publicity. But I neglected to bring that one up as well. So that's $45,000 that remains untouched until you folks discuss.
So we sat out there and cut the others by 20%.
Yes.
I would make a motion. We cut that by 20%.
Second.
Gary, can I ask?
Yes.
So I meant to ask that. I thought we had cut that during the budget meeting. I thought we cut that, but I forgot to ask. We had said back when we moved things around, we changed this, that we were going to ask for a yearly report from those chambers. Have we ever gotten a yearly report on how they spent that money?
Yeah, I think last year we normally get it at the very end of the year or the beginning of the next. I think last year Amy emailed them around. I will make sure that we do that. But yeah, a couple of them we've had to really prod to do that.
I'd like to know. I'd like to see the last report to see how they spent the money we've given them.
Okay.
Any other discussion, Finance Committee? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? You there, Gary? You're mute.
You're muted, Gary.
There you go.
Still can't hear him.
No.
Okay. Looks like he's okay.
Carries.
Give him a thumbs up. Vote no. Or yes, Gary.
Okay, then we...
Mr. Swackhammer, one before we move to the other one,
yeah.
I put kind of a verbal placeholder in the United Way funding last time. I spoke with the executive director because if you recall, the RSVP program, United Way, like the rest of organizations, are reducing funding. There was about a $10,000 decrease in United Way funding to RSVP. And I spoke with the executive director, and he's working with Christine over at RSVP to change the application to meet their amended requirements under their funding stream cuts. So it looks like we're going to be successful in reversing that. So
good.
So from administrative recommendation standpoint, I think we're okay there if you folks are.
Thank you. All right, we'll go to the colorful one.
Yes.
Can I ask another question? Sorry.
Yeah,
no problem. I think I was confused before about the
bring your microphone
SRO
on
in BOCES.
Microphone.
Sorry.
The SRO at BOCES, does that mean there is no BOCES SRO?
Yes.
Correct. BOCES canceled the contract or notified the sheriff that that contract wasn't being renewed. So, yes. That
is correct. Okay, Jack.
Yep. So this is the, and I apologize if it's somewhat confusing, but tried to color code things just for my simple brain. That's how I kind of function for the early retirement incentive. So green are positions that departments have identified as mission critical and need to replace. In some cases, you don't see any savings attached. I did go back through and look to see where that individual person is in their steps and what the incumbent would be coming in as. You know, in some cases, I found maybe $1,000 worth of savings in those cases, but not significant enough because it all depends on who's coming up. In many cases, we have someone coming in to the chain that's doing a lateral transfer to another department that there's not going to be any savings. So the ones that are highlighted green, where I did not mark any savings, that's just because it was either very, very little or actually none. The two up in community services that are marked green, same kind of deal there. So the reds are ones that are 100% zero based for 2021. You can obviously see that the net savings in the social service positions that were zero based is less, and that's directly because of the state reimbursement that we draw down on each of those positions. But by and large, any you know, like public works position, community services, anything that is 100% county funded, obviously you see a significant savings in that first year. We funded at 50%. Now, Vince did say that a lot of those that are shaded in the blue color could be zero based, but based on where we were in the budget and looking at the bottom lines and, you know, kind of the targets that you folks gave us to get to, and Mr. Malter made the point at the last meeting about setting ourselves up for the next year. If we could take these to zero, but if Vince has a need to replace any of these, and then it just also exacerbates our issue the following year, because candidly, you're going to have to add, or he's going to request, you don't have to do anything, but he's going to request adding those back in, you know, in future years. So we thought that we could get away with those at 50%. And we also did the same thing for a few of DSS positions. So those are the 50%ers.
You funded them at 50?
Mm-hmm. Yep. For both salary and benefits. The one position in the sheriff's office, he believes that with some, you know, kind of reallocation of duties to other clerical staff that he'll be able to reduce to a part-time position for the coming year. So we did that. That's the pink color. The gray color is IT. The IT director has indicated to us that he'd like to replace with help desk technicians. Those are titles we can actually recruit for. And the help desk technicians actually can do a wide range of duties. And don't need highly advanced degrees or anything like that. So those are ones that he felt that we could pretty easily, you know, actually get some people. And you can see that there are pretty good savings associated with that. And then finally, the dark gray is Amy's position. So obviously we are going to have a planner, but funded the senior planner Matt's position at 50%, because one way or another, we're going to have kind of a body and a half,
right.
You know, at most for the coming year. So those were the changes. You can see the total cost. These are the actual cost of either, you know, the people who took the cash payout or the additional payment in additional copay premium payment. So the total cost of these 42 positions. It's about $570,000. You can see the first year savings that we have. So for the first year, we're seeing savings of about $480,000, which was obviously desperately needed in this budget year. And these savings, you know, depending upon what you folks choose to do with positions and how you fund them coming down the road, you know, they can very much be recurring savings.
So I'm assuming that all of these savings are not incorporated in the original budget that you presented.
Not the original. They would be incorporated in any of the new stuff that you have, the new salary schedules, all of that. And then after this meeting, when we reprint the budget, it'll obviously be included in that. But when you look at your bottom lines and your comparative budgets, these numbers are baked into that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Any questions?
Do we need a motion to accept this? Just
no. No.
All right. So what's your next idea?
What's yours? You're the chairman.
Jack, does this one get us down where we need the property tax cap calculation to be?
You are below that. Awesome. You are... not insignificantly below that, too. You're at about a 1% levy increase, a little more.
Do we get to, like a couple of other municipalities I do the calculation for, if we're below the cap, we get to carry forward the difference. We get to do that as well.
Yeah, and so you had some carry forward this year. You could actually push 2%-ish. There was some, like that formula is just ridiculous, as you know, but... we had carryover from last year, but yes, we can, if we're below, you folks will be able to carry that over next year.
Thank you.
Okay. It's many of you have got information on the sheriff's budget, the complete, I think it was a 5-year.
Yes.
Funding for the last 5 years. And we had some questions on that sheriff route.
He's on.
Morning, Sheriff.
Good morning.
There you are. Okay. Sheriff, two of them, that things that stick out is the SRO people that BOCES had, and I see you've got them added on to the next year's budget, and I don't know why you would do that.
Okay, so what's your question?
I can't hear the sheriff.
We can't hear you.
You're a little muted, Sheriff.
I'm not sure what the question is.
So he wasn't sure what the question is. So, and the sheriff can certainly jump in, but unlike the other SROs that we have that the sheriff utilizes retirees, the SROs at BOCES are uniformed deputies that BOCES paid for. So essentially the funding goes away, but they are still county employees, uniformed deputies. We did note that in our budget meetings with the sheriff, we discussed this issue and we zero-based one of the funded deputy sheriff positions to, in a way, account for that, and we zero based one of the part-time investigator positions as well.
Yes. Sheriff, why do we still have two RN positions budgeted?
No idea.
We should have, so we should only have one budgeted. You still have one individual who is there, correct, Sheriff?
Yes. Yep.
Yes.
One county employee.
Yep. So the other one should be zero based in your new salary schedule. In your old salary schedule, it might have been.
This is the worksheets that we got in via email when we asked for the details. So it has two RN positions. It says they're budgeted and funded.
Right.
And then also LPN. Two LPN positions that are budgeted and funded.
No. So that is not accurate. So if you look at the jail portion of your salary schedule,
mm-hmm. Yep.
you have a part-time or a part-time licensed nurse practitioner that we've carried 14,000 for part-time if needed, but the sheriff is really getting all of those services through Prime Care now, so that could have been my miss. But really there is only one budgeted LP or one budgeted nurse for 2021. And that's on page, in your salary schedule, it's on page 14 of 34, down towards the bottom, Kathy Shupp.
What about Carolyn Saltzman?
She retired?
Yes, she's no longer a county employee.
Okay, so we can zero base that one.
Okay.
Can you understand him?
No, it sounds like he's in a...
Sheriff, we can't really understand you.
Let me go back and try to dial in through the phone.
Sorry about that. I thought we caught that one. So, yes, so in your changes, that registered professional nurse, that 7269 would be zero.
We'll change that to zero. No.
Yeah.
Okay.
She retired.
Part-time. Yeah.
Right at the top.
Yep. We could take that out too.
Oh. Take it out.
Because there's one at the top of the page on 16 and then one about a quarter of the way from the bottom.
So the sheriff can talk about how he's utilized them. They have been utilized somewhat in 2020. But my understanding is it's less and less, and any of the nursing needs, he's utilizing Prime Care instead.
That's a lot of money. That's what we're supposed to be doing, right? That's why we pay the big bucks.
Correct. Yep. But there have been instances where that kind of the part-time individuals were used, and it's all based on usage. So, you know, they might not work $14,000 worth. They might work $5,000 worth. But my understanding is that's coming through Prime Care now.
We can remove those as well.
Yep.
You with us, Amanda?
Yep.
Okay.
Sheriff.
Oh, Sheriff.
Join the meeting.
Sheriff, those two SROs, what's they going to cost us? Your wages and salaries is up $200,000 for next year.
Got to try again.
What did you say?
Try again.
I think he was joining in right when you were talking.
Oh. Those SROs that you have got on your salaries, how much more is that going to cost us? He's on the phone.
I'm on the phone and I'm getting incredible feedback.
Are you signed on the computer too? You might want to sign off the computer.
Okay, we can hear much better. You won't be able to see my pretty face.
That's all right. We can do it without.
I'd rather hear you.
Okay. There's that.
Okay, you there?
Gotcha.
Yeah. Thank you.
Your salary and wages are up to over $200,000. How much are the SROs that you got on staff costing us?
So there's two different types of SROs. There's the two that came back from BOCES when they canceled their contract. They were the only two full-time deputies. The rest of the SROs are special patrol officers, and they're 100% reimbursed by the school district. So they're not costing you anything.
No, how much are the two extra ones costing?
You, you're just losing your BOCES reimbursement of $200,000.
The revenue went down. That amount was always in salary and wages. There's just no revenue offsetting it now.
So, Gary.
Go ahead.
So, do we know why they're canceling the contract with those?
According to the business manager of BOCES, they couldn't afford it as they're experiencing significant losses of revenue from lower enrollment due to COVID.
I don't think we can afford to have those two on staff either. They haven't been on staff, so.
They have been on staff. They've both been on staff for several years. You've just been getting reimbursement for them. So what we did was when BOCES canceled that contract, we had two vacancies that we hadn't filled, and we didn't fill them, and they're still unfilled to get us through to the end of the budget year. And now they're back in the budget just without a revenue. There's no change due to that in salary and wages. And we still haven't filled the two vacant ones that we need to fill.
And we did zero one of the vacants and one of the part-time investigators to try to account for that.
Correct.
So how close are we?
Half a body worth, you know, half a position worth. So, you know, those are two that you're losing the funding stream on, but we zeroed a different vacancy and then a part-time vacancy. So the difference is 0.5 FTE. And the other thing about the salary and wage increases is even though the deputies don't have an incumbent contract for 2021, there are many deputies that are on their steps and under Taylor law, they're going right. to get their wage increases anyhow. Yeah. So that's a good portion of that too.
So let me just get some clarification here. We had two people working for BOCES, two deputy sheriffs. So BOCES canceled the contract. We took those deputies and filled two vacant deputy positions in the current budget. We did not do that.
No.
No. The positions were already there. They were already filled. What happened was BOCES canceled their reimbursement. So they canceled the revenue end. The deputies were there all along. So BOCES canceled their revenue. We happen to have two vacancies that we had not yet filled, so we did not fill them till the end of the year to make up for that difference in the current budget, and then we zero-based 1.5 for next year to make up for the difference in next year's budget.
John, I'm as confused as you. I think what you and I are seeing is there were two deputies who were on our payroll
right.
full time, but they were actually on site at BOCES locations working. We were being reimbursed for them.
So
when BOCES canceled the reimbursement, those two deputies came back into our facilities and we're going to continue using them. And rather than filling two vacancies that were also sitting out there, they've eliminated 1.5 of those.
Okay.
So the revenue stream went down and the cost went up.
The revenue stream went down.
Right.
Cost means cost the cost stayed the same.
Half a body. Half a body.
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
I get so Mike, if we can just finish this.
Yeah.
My question is, what were those two vacancies and would you have filled them eventually?
Absolutely.
What were the vacancies? Were they just road
they were both patrol? Deputies. Both deputies.
Did they have a specific duty that you were going to assign to them?
Just patrol.
You and I have had a couple of emails back and forth questioning some of the items, and I was unclear as far as when we hired deputies for COPE versus when we hired deputies for CAP. And are those positions the same or did we hire deputies separately for each of those programs?
Separately for each of the programs.
So we created new line items sitting out there for those additional deputies. So four new positions. Did we have positions that were not filled, but funded in the budget for deputies? And so
they were all new positions.
So the two that's coming back from BOCES, we're using those funding mechanisms sitting out there to fill them. I just
not so even though with CAP you're getting some reimbursement for the cities, the funding outside of the civil stuff, you know, that, and that's significant, the civil fees that you get, there's really not additional revenue attached for COPE and others. We tried to leverage Raise the Age reimbursement, but the state has said no, not, they won't fund law enforcement under Raise the Age. So your revenue streams are going to be limited. So what in our budget meetings with the sheriff, what we've done is again, that looked at the vacant positions based on the positions that are on the books that you folks have approved from COPE, CAP, and the others.
So since 2016-17, we've put in 9.5 new sheriff deputies into these budgets sitting out there.
No.
Based on these. Well, we had 15.5 deputy sheriffs in 2017. And the requested budget for 2021 is 25. Well, I'm looking at the numbers right in front of me, so.
The numbers you got from finance on staffing are incredible, about 33 to 40% wrong.
So why weren't we given correct numbers before today's meeting? We're finding this out now.
I don't know. You financed and approved 9 new deputy sheriff positions through COPE and CAP. Only 8 have been filled to date. There's still a 9th one out there that was never filled or approved in the budget. So there's 8 new positions that have been approved and filled and financed through the budget since the time they were approved. And that is where we're at. But those numbers that are on that spreadsheet from finance are not even close to correct. I don't know why she didn't get them from personnel, but that's outside my purview.
John, it sounds like you were right on the number of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, apparently exactly. There's some number that's inaccurate that we don't have. But.
So here's the deal. We're sitting out there looking at the projections for 2021. You're asking for an additional deputy sheriff at the corporal position and a criminal investigator part-time. So those are two new positions that we're are requesting in 2021.
No. I think the only new position we're asking for in 21 is the one part-time investigator. That's it.
Correct. That's correct.
So if you're looking at the positions budgeted, those came directly from the...
You'll need her.
You come up to a microphone so not only we can hear you, but the sheriff can as well. Just stand to that tall one right there.
So the page that says positions budgeted and funded came directly from each budget year's salary schedule. So, I mean, I think what you're seeing, Mr. Malter, on the corporal is someone was made corporal between the 2020 budget and the 2021 budget. So it's not that that's a new position.
There were reclassifications.
Right. So that happened during the year. What was in the 2020 budget was 1, and what is in the 2021 budget is 2, but it doesn't imply that that's a vacant corporal position. It could be filled, it could be vacant. We know there's only 1.5 vacancies for the road patrol.
And that's probably the same case for the criminal investigator line?
Mm-hmm.
That so went from 5 doing... to 6?
So it was something happened during the year.
A reclass.
These are static numbers as of when the budget was prepared. So they are what they are. And then
so we're taking a funded but unfilled position and creating this second corporal position.
That's already happened. So back, yeah. And I'd have to look at the minutes, but.
So it wasn't there in 20? Aren't we in 20 now?
It was the 2020 budget.
2020 budget. When did we reclass the corporal position, Sheriff? Do you remember?
I have to look back to look. It was after the vacancy occurred with the senior investigator position.
After the settlement, so it was in 2020.
Yeah. Right.
Yes, it was early.
I remember those were discussed in your committee.
Yes.
Yeah. That went through, and I think it went through a full resolution too.
Mm-hmm.
So Tammy, just to be clear, when you put together this worksheet for positions budgeted and funded, you took it out of this salary schedule?
Correct.
Okay. So the numbers here and the salaries, the positions are actually accurate.
Yeah. So the nuances where I, like Tammy said, where I think the confusion are is in the reorganization, there's been reclassifications in between. That doesn't necessarily mean new positions.
Mm-hmm.
But it means different titles. So, right.
Well, we did go from 43 to 45, so there's got to be at least two.
Yeah. So you have added additional staff between CAP, COPE, the other things, and then there's been reclasses in between in the restructure.
So the question is, of all these people that are on this sheet, are these all that are budgeted positions? Are there any budgeted positions unfilled at this point that's not included in these 21 numbers?
Not that would not be included. So any position that, and we've even included some of the zero, you know, which we show to that went down to zero. Unless, do you have any vacancies, budgeted vacancies right now of folks who have left in under the sheriff's budget, Sheriff, in the last few months?
One of the part-time welfare fraud investigators, there's two part-time investigators in welfare fraud that are funded by DSS. As you know, we've got a vacancy there that we're looking to fill. Yep. Court security, we have, I think, three vacancies in there, and depending on the number of trials that go, there may be some filling there, and based on what we're seeing, our jail numbers are going up. We're at 143 today. We've been climbing steadily up since court opened from down around the 90s. We've been every week going up. Right now, this whole past week, we've been in the 140s. So there may be some positions in the jail that we have to look at as the budget year goes on. It's all flexible and in flux. It's all directly respondent to the needs of the public safety issues that we have to meet. I mean, that's what drives the bus. It's very difficult to project.
Yeah. Now, your sheriff's department, you also have overtime. You've used 126% this year. You've gone up to 200,000. Is that because of the COVID-19?
Well, and the unrest, too. We had a two-week span where all the state police from the county were sent to Rochester or told to stay in their barracks and not answer calls due to the unrest up there. So we had to put on almost triple what we normally run in order to cover the county. And that two-week span cost us $25,000 alone in overtime. We've had a couple weekends since then where we've had to cover the road while they were in Rochester. And we just found out that there's a COVID outbreak in one of our partners' stations that drastically affect coverage. So we have to be able to react to those things. And along with all of the COVID, and the county manager can tell you the amount of time and effort the deputies have spent in our COVID response and the partnership they've done. They're getting worn out just like the public health folks are. But by and large, we've increased our road patrol by 25% due to COPE and COVID. And I think we've increased the budget yearly by about 10 to 15%. So we bought used cars. We've done everything under the sun, managing schedules to keep it as low as possible to deliver the most effective and efficient patrol you're going to get. And when I look at the myriad of programs we've introduced that are serving the citizens of Steuben County, you're getting a heck of a value for what you're spending on your sheriff's office right now. And I put it up against any agency in the state.
Yeah, we understand you've helped out a lot and done a great job, but we've got a budget too, and we've got to account to our voters, taxpayers, as much as you do. So we're just trying to figure out how we could save a few more dollars than with your budget raises. Do you see any place that maybe be a chance?
I'm going to tell you that last year, and again, the manager can back you up. He asked for us to cut it to the bone last year, and we did. And we did go down in some of our expenditures this year, and we trimmed again in the jail this year. Some point in time, it's going to catch up.
Yeah, candidly, I like most departments, I can't see, you know, your money is in the staffing. They have zero-based 1.5 FTE, which is a big, you know, that's well over $100,000 worth of county cost to help, you know, balance it. In terms of the contractuals, I mean, Chris and I spent a long time discussing any flex in the contractuals, and it's just, I would agree with the sheriff. I think it'd be tough to find, you know, anything significant. Could you find $1,000, $2,000 here or there?
Yeah,
maybe. But anything significant, I think, would be pretty tough.
There's no use nickel diming. You know, that's not worth our time or his time either. So,
well, the other concern that we should be having is that some of the revenue that we've budgeted for in the jail is really not going to come to fruition.
Oh.
And how are we going to deal with that?
So
your services other governments line is needs to be fixed.
That's the
245.
Yep, that's the one. That's the BOCES deal that was fixed.
Oh, okay.
In the sheriff's budget, so that was fixed down to what, around 20, Tammy? Yep.
Okay.
So that one was fixed. So that was accounted for, and that's baked into all of your reports here. We in talking with the sheriff, we did drop the lodging of federal prisoners line in the jail, but that still is a risk. Scott and I had a talk this morning about, you know, how to handle that. You know, is 750 a little optimistic? Maybe, but you also have flex in, we know that even where we have it now, the budgeted positions that we have in this budget, like we talked about Public Works and some of the others, there's expense that we're not going to spend. So, you know, how far do you want to reduce that when we know we have some expense that's conservatively budgeted where you're going to have flex on that other side to, in the end, budget your entire balance?
You're saying in other departments?
In other departments, yes. Yeah. If we were looking just at the sheriff and trying to come up with a spot on, you know, estimate, I'd say 750 on that for next year is probably too high. But if you look at where you're at in the others, the other thing that not accounted for is you could lower that. You just identified the nurse practitioners of not an insignificant amount, positions, you know, of about $100,000 that's going to come out. So you could adjust that revenue number down further.
I think we need to, because we know it's going to be a miss. It was at 620 in 2019. We're 270 year to date. So even if that gets to 400, it would be a stretch. So
yeah,
to budget it at 750 is, I don't think that's smart. I think you take it down $100,000 because those three positions that we just said zero fund amounted to 98,000. So it's a wash.
Mm-hmm.
But at least the revenue then more accurately reflects what we're going to be.
Factor in the fringe benefit on those three positions also.
Yeah, you're going to be 140 probably.
Yeah.
I have a question sitting out there. As far as the deputies that we're using for tracking of COVID cases, are we keeping track of that time?
Okay.
And in case we get reimbursed sitting out there, we're going to show that revenue coming back into the sheriff's budget?
I don't know how we track that showing coming back, because that would be just a one-time slug that you're going to get from FEMA. So I don't know in terms of tracking, but to answer your first question, yes, absolutely. We have a separate bucket for tracking time.
But so do we know how much that is at this point? I'm just looking at.
I do not. I'm sure we can get that for you.
I think it would be fair to at least reflect the revenue that we get from FEMA, since we're eating all the expenses in the sheriff's budgets. We ought to at least recognize that some of that was actually reimbursed.
Right.
Yeah.
Rather than reimburse it.
Oops, I'm sorry. I was going to say, currently we're at over 400 hours of overtime just for COVID right now. Yeah. And that's overtime. That's not counting the straight time that they're spending on it, which they probably won't reimburse us for anyways.
No, probably not. And the problem is, the more we take away from this budget, we don't know what next year is going to bring. We may be in the same situation if they don't come up with something to help us out.
Yep. Well, if the jail population increases, we're going to be in trouble anyway.
So there's always that.
Yeah.
Did you want?
Yeah, I had a couple of questions. One of them was, last year when we were talking about bail reform, we talked about savings that should result in this year's budget. And I'm wondering, is that in here anywhere? I look at these numbers. I don't understand some of the stuff in here. But big picture, I think the budget is up too much for the sheriff. A lot of the other department heads kept their budgets down, and I'm very concerned about it. It's an annual thing with this budget going way up. I'm wondering, with the bail reform, where is the savings that was supposed to come about from that? Is that already in here?
No, and the sheriff can talk about it, and it's based on jail population is what the projections are based on, where we thought that we'd see a sustained drop in jail population. And Sheriff, you probably should mention we're not seeing what we thought we would.
Well, we saw an initial drop, and this is what I warned. We didn't know where we were going to be in a year. Broome County is already up almost to two-thirds of where they were before bail reform. What we're seeing is a tremendous spike right now due to the fact that court has opened up, grand jury's opened up again. We had eight zero indictments last week alone out of grand jury. Those are all warrants that have to be served, people that have to be arraigned. And moving forward, once it's so difficult to forecast right now with COVID, because everything start, stop, and it drives it up. Regarding the federal inmates, I just wanted to touch on that real quick. We're the farthest travel for any county that takes in inmates from Rochester or Buffalo. So as their jail numbers have gone down in Livingston, Allegheny, Monroe, and Cattaraugus, they've taken more federal inmates. And since they're closer, they're less expensive. Typically what we're getting is the ones nobody else wants. And they're the ones that nobody else wants to house. So the ones that we're getting are more work for the same pay or for the same reimbursement. And our numbers are low because of it, because everybody else is gobbling them up that's closer. As far as savings on bail reform, the costs are what they are.
Well, I know that you said that our numbers are 143 today. What were the numbers prior to bail reform?
200, 205, anywhere from 190 to 205.
And I think you mentioned that the 143 is up from somewhere in the 90s, was it?
Yeah, our low point, we were at 95, I think, is the lowest we went.
So what is the point when we have average numbers, where is the breaking point for not needing as much staff?
So numbers are only one part of that equation. Staff is set by the state. The New York State Commission of Corrections does the staffing analysis, and in order to be open as a jail, you have to abide by that staffing analysis. I don't have any choice in that. I can't say, hey, let's be creative and flexible here. They won't go along with that. So what we have done is to maintain and lessen our overtime is when we can, we combine units and close. We've had one unit closed most of this year. Now, we thought we'd save money on food for the inmates, and then due to COVID, the price of all meats went through the roof, which took away, not only took away any savings we had, but added cost on in the end. What really kills the jail budget are folks that have stay away order protections, whose mental illness puts them into constant watch, whose medical conditions put them in the hospital. Those things kill our budget, especially on overtime. And unfortunately, we can't pick and choose who we have in. I will tell you that our jail staff, especially working with prime care, are very diligent to identify high cost item, medical items for inmates. And then we try to creatively, through diversion or probation or some other method, get them out of our custody before that medical procedure occurs. And we've saved hundreds of thousands of dollars doing that. And I can't tell you how much that has saved the county.
Yeah, has there been a new staffing analysis done since our numbers have gone down?
No, there's been no staffing analysis done since COVID. We haven't even had a visit by the commission since COVID. They did it all via Zoom for our yearly cycle review. They do a 5-day inspection every summer here at the jail to make sure we're meeting their policies, their procedures, their standards, and their staffing analysis. And they did all that remotely this year. They haven't been here at all.
So if we wanted to know if we could reduce the jail officers, we would need to have them visit and give us a staffing analysis?
Yeah.
Correct.
Pretty much, yeah.
Any other questions for the sheriff at this time?
Well, I'm just adding on to what Aaron is saying, sitting out there. You know, it was my understanding that we closed one of the pods down at one time, but the correctional officers were used for COVID situations.
So we've got two that are on light duty that are doing nothing but phone calls for COVID, helping out the public health office. We have two deputies that are pretty much doing it full time. And the rest of the deputies are all doing it part-time. That's the commitment we've made to help. That doesn't count in the surveillances and the video and the security and safety at the sites when they're doing tests and the investigations for the pause complaints and all of that. That's just to take out the notices of quarantine and make sure that the ones are served on the positive cases and that the trace quarantine ones get served also. There's days where they may have as many as 30 or 40 to serve, especially recently, and more than that. Yeah, over 100 per day sometimes.
But so I really don't see, you know, where you could sit out there and do any staffing pattern sitting out there with such a flexibility, you know, of inmates coming in and out of that jail. I don't know how you do that.
Yeah. Until things normalize.
Exactly.
So. Yeah, until the court is on a regular schedule, until things normalize, we don't know what real life looks like in a lot of ways.
Well, right. That's it. Plus with COVID and the effects of bail reform, I don't believe the commission's doing any staffing analysis. And when they do, it's going to be for a max population. It's not going to be for a minimum population.
Right.
Sheriff, this is Jeff Warden. I also just wanted to add to John's, there's also, now you have to have a deputy at the Corning and Hornell DMVs that weren't there before.
Right. Yeah, and those are correction officers we're using for those too. Just because I don't have a deputy to spare to put them down there.
Yeah, and the sheriff has mentioned, I think, that they've done over 800 correct sheriff pause investigation so far.
Probably closing in on 1,000. Yep. And
so basically, we've eliminated three positions in this budget, $140,000 of salary and fringe. We're reducing revenues by that much money. By $100,000 sitting out there.
It needs to be made a motion, Gary.
So I'll make that motion.
Okay. I'll second.
Those are for registered professional nurse full-time and two licensed practical nurse part-times.
Yep. Anything else from the Finance Committee? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
So if I can just comment on the information that Tammy sent us.
Which one are you looking at?
I'm looking at headcounts and hours page that only come out through 2019. And she was very clear in how some of this is probably confusing because the numbers were either originated or they were people that became part of the headcount mid-year. So it's kind of difficult that way. But if you just look at the hours,
right?
Like there's two categories here. If you just go to in the middle of it, you look at sheriff and you look at the hours. The concerning thing to me is overtime hours in 2019 are 5,900 and they've grown consistently from 5 years back when it was 2,500. I mean, it's more than doubled. So the question becomes, is it because of additional responsibilities, additional duties we're taking on, or is it a fact of just not having enough staff?
Is that for me?
Yes.
Okay. I wasn't sure. Yeah, I think it's a combination. I think that the world is not a safer place than it was 5 years ago. I think that what we're seeing, you look at, we're averaging at least two homicides a year right now, where the first 20 years of my career, I didn't see a homicide. You saw a police officer shot to death in our county for the first time in my memory within the last couple of years. You're seeing people acting out in a more violent way than ever before, whether it's peaceful protests or riots or just even in domestics. I was talking to one of our correction officers who was, by the way, doing security at the annex building for early voting on Saturday. And he said the inmates are becoming more and more violent every day as COVID goes on. But I think if you look across what we're doing, last year we investigated 5 homicides and 1 attempted murder. I've never seen that in our county before. We're doing a lot more duties and we're taking our responsibilities as the local law enforcement for 75,000 of the 95,000 citizens here. And we're doing more in investigations than ever before because now our people have the training and the expertise to do it correctly. So I think that does raise your overtime significantly, but these special issues of when we have to cover the entire county, when we have a 3-week long homicide investigation, when we have an arson investigation that goes 3 days long, those things cost. And, you know, there's a significant impact. And I talked about this with a one of our citizen groups the other day that there's a significant impact on the civil unrest in Rochester and what it costs us locally, that we're not immune to it. And, you know, we're going to continue, and I don't want to get too far off the track because I know you guys got other stuff to do. But when I came here, we had no evidence technicians. We had no arson investigators. We had no one that was trained in cell phone extraction of evidence. We had no one that was trained in social media extraction of evidence. All these things we now have, and not to mention 30 EMTs that are out serving the county. These are all programs that we started because it was necessary. It was necessary, in my opinion, it was necessary to meet our responsibilities as the local law enforcement for 75,000 people. Our DWIs have increased by over 100% because that's still the leading cause of criminal death in this county. We've taken the resources we have strategically and tried to apply them to where they'll do the most benefit to the public safety realm in this county. That's been our goal. That continues to be our goal. And I went down and voted for myself Saturday, so it'll be our goal for the next 4 years also. And if the good Lord wishes it, we'll be here for a lot longer than that. But there were a lot of significant issues that were not being managed well previously that we've taken on and we've met. And those things, you know, I go back to what's the value. The cost is up, absolutely. I see that and I know that. But what's the value for what you're getting? If we raise the cost and you got nothing extra for it, I'd say, yep, slash and burn. But you've got to look at the value, the fact that we've saved $1 million just in attorney costs by doing CAP the way we did it. I'd say that's pretty valuable. The fact that we've had 12, so again, for, if you look at the staffing of Bath PD and Corning PD, almost every person there started at the sheriff's office and then transferred there to make more money. In the last 3 years, we've gotten 12 lateral transfers in to the sheriff's office from other agencies. That saves us about $600,000 in initial training costs. That's value. When you look at the lives we've saved with the EMT program, that's value. And, you know, I get that the costs are up, and I wish there was a way I could come up with a creative way to address that. But legally, I don't believe I can. And, you know, we'll continue to look for funding sources outside. That's why we did the Sheriff's Foundation, was to create a funding source that would be able to assist us and defray costs solely. So moving forward, that's what we're looking at. But yeah, we're doing more, and it's costed more. And I don't see any way around that. I don't see any trends in our society that are going to say it's going to be more safe and the need for public safety is going to be less moving forward.
So, Sheriff, I have a couple things. If by chance BOCES wants to set up another contract with the county, I'm assuming that we're just going to reassign two of the deputies we have on staff. We're not going to ask for two new positions.
That is correct. And honestly, and, John, what we're looking at is we've floated the idea to a couple of districts to share a deputy rather than the current SROs we're doing, because we've kind of tapped the market on retirees. And if that comes about, that would be some revenue. And there's been some positive response to that, again, in order to help the budget. So we are looking at that and we are working on it.
Well, my second point is, when the state police are reassigned to either Buffalo or any place else, and we have to cover the county, I'm assuming there's no state reimbursement for us doing that.
You are correct.
Yeah, just wanted to point that out.
Thanks, John.
So if I can just finish with this page. If you look at the jail section, which is in the bottom half of
yep.
The overtime hours go from 5,400 in 2015 to 17,004 in 2019. Mm-hmm. And yet the staffing is relatively flat over those years.
Right.
That doesn't have anything to do with COVID. That doesn't have anything to do with additional programs we're doing outside in the county to service residents. Why have we tripled overtime? Is it purely a staffing issue?
It is. It's a staffing issue. And again, it goes back to those areas of constant watch, medical, and transport. And when you're transporting, as the court costs or the court appearances go up, that's why I was pushing so hard for those virtual court appearances, because that's going to save us tremendously. We're still waiting for an answer on that from Rochester. But it was not unusual in that time when it tripled for us to be traveling to Rochester, traveling to Buffalo, and also traveling to county court and one or two local courts in a given day. And we don't budget in our staffing. That many trips are not covered, and any trip out of county is two people for safety. And even though we get reimbursed for a lot of that overtime and travel time for the federal ones, the local ones we don't. And the medicals, here's our other issue. A person goes to the Arnett for a medical condition. We have one officer there for security. Then Arnett says, yeah, we can't handle this. They're going to Strong. Well, that's out of county. So now we got two people 24/7 for security on that person until they come back. If they go to Guthrie Corning and they send them to SARE, it's the same thing. In county one, out of state especially, at least two. And if we're transferring back and forth, we went through a period where we had an extremely sick population, and almost weekly we were shipping people out. At one time, we had a detail in Strong and a detail in Guthrie SARE and a detail in Corning all at the same time. And that's all overtime. So as we get a sicker population, which we've seen, that drives that bus. Now with Prime Care, we're sending out a lot fewer individuals. That was under the other medical issue where people were getting sent out much more frequently. Prime Care doesn't send as many out. And they get dental done in the jail, where we used to have to do trips for dental. And with the rising amount of meth, that was an incredible expenditure. And we're doing that in the jail now, no additional trips for that. So there's a lot of variables to that. And it continues, you know, I'd like to say, wave a magic wand and say we're, you know, overtime will be this, but it's all dependent on the population.
Any other questions for Sheriff? We've got to wrap things up soon. No, thank you, Sheriff, for all your time and the summaries. We wouldn't want your job, that's for sure.
That's what somebody said. You're running unopposed. And I said, yeah, nobody else wants this job.
Yeah. Thanks, Sheriff.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
Yep. So Finance Committee, what's left of us? What kind of percent do we want? If that's where we're at, right, Jack?
Basically. Yeah, you're going to get a little bit more to the good, like John mentioned, with the additional fringe. You're going to drop that revenue by 100, but you're going to gain over 100 when you add the fringe in. And right now you are at, it was about a 1.02% increase, I believe. Yep.
A what?
1.02%. And you're I think John, or did Aaron ask it? The assessed value did go up, so your rate should go should stay the same or go down a little bit. I think I think the assessed overall, I'm opening that spreadsheet now.
1% increase.
I'm happy with that.
We're okay with that?
I'm good with that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
One a real tough year.
Yes.
One small item, Gary.
Yep.
On the top of this colorful page that we made adjustments at the last meeting, we reduced our own training and conferences budget by half because none of us are really going anywhere, sir. We haven't been. So, but Brenda brought up the concern with me this morning that she was pulling money out of that to cover advertising costs in her budget because legal ads, now that the papers have gone basically virtual, where you have to put your legal ads online through their websites and stuff, are costing us five times more.
I've already stripped our clerk of the board of advertising for training and conferences to cover advertising for this year.
So what do you need? How much?
Why don't we just increase that budget line?
Yeah, well, that's what I say. How much?
But yeah, I mean, that obviously was not the way to do it, but they hit us with that after the budget last year. They raised affidavit fees from $5 to $25.
Yeah.
They also raised the prices on. Well, I think that I feel like I need at least an additional $2,500 in advertising.
Okay.
Some of the legislatures there. Now, if you guys do go through with doing the charter changes, we're going to have, it's going to be even more.
Right.
That publishing that alone is going to be very.
We'll put $5,000 in there. We'd be safe.
Wow. $5,000 won't cover publishing the charter.
Motion.
Well, how much?
I don't know. But it,
you need $10,000?
Let's worry about that when we get to that point.
And you have contingency and others.
Yeah.
It's just when she told me she didn't realize we had cut our training when she was using that for other stuff. I'm like, okay, well, we need to fix your line item.
She's robbing Peter to pay Paul.
What do you want? $5,000 put back in, or if more than that?
What if we
should fund it where it needs to be?
What if we change advertising in her budget right now? It's $1,950. What if we put that at $5,000?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? I'm fair.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. You got it.
Good.
Thank you.
Motion to adjourn.
I'm done.
1% is what we're looking at.
Roughly.
In right around there.
Yeah.
I mean, within decimal points of that. Right.
Good. Yep. Thank you. Thank you. Everybody here in finance committee.
Jack and Tammy, they did a great job. And Chris, whoever worked on that budget, did a hell of a job.
Oh, I know we've already adjourned, but there were discussions via email.